The love of Torah leads to ellipses, dot, dot, dot. It's not meant to fill in the blank, but it's based on, I guess, what I gleaned from yesterday's reading of Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104, I believe it was. So during my reading this week of the selected passages as we count the Omer, I was confronted by Friday's verses and the first, the proclamation by the writer, and then by the impact of their proclamation. In verse 97, how I love your Torah, I meditate on it all day. I want you to first consider the two aspects of this verse. Both are active in their presentation. The first is a profession of love towards Adonai's Torah. You can't love one without the other. According to the dictionary, love is an intense feeling of deep affliction. Meanwhile, the Urban Dictionary defines love as the act of caring and giving to someone else, having someone's best interest and well-being as a priority in your life. The writer is making this profession towards Adonai and to his word. Other possible attributes based on the very first sentence include a willingness to prioritize another's well-being or happiness above your own, extreme feelings of attachment, affection, and need, and then finally dramatic, sudden feelings of attraction and respect. Granted, all of these definitions are attributes typically directed towards another person. Yet didn't Adonai appear through Yeshua when the Word became a human being and lived with us? And we saw his Shekinah, the Shekinah of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And thus, didn't the words of Yeshua align with the proclamation of the psalmist when he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands"? Thus, Yeshua himself conveyed an aspect towards us of a willingness to prioritize another's well-being or happiness above his own. For we read in John chapter 10, verse 17, "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it away from me. On the contrary, I lay it down of my own free will. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This is what my Father commanded me to do." Yeshua laid down his life because of his love for the Father and that of the Father's creation. Thus, love for Yeshua is not separate from Torah, but is a requirement. It is a condition. To say you love Yeshua and yet reject Torah is not true love, because you are rejecting his commandments, not loving and therefore embracing them. The second part of this verse speaks of devotion, to meditate on it all day. Does this mean this is the only thing you do all day? That there is nothing else in your life? That you are so focused that this is all you can do? I don't believe that's the case. For the Hebrew word used here for meditate is zechach. And it also means to reflect. And it also means prayer. So meditation requires reflection. It requires a devotion as an aspect. It also contains the attributes, as I said, of devotion to and prayer, reflecting upon that which one is devoted to. To love means to be devoted to. That is a commandment. While the duration of time here, all day, conveys an aspect as to the duration of one's commitment, You are committed to your spouse, yet are not with them all day, but return to them. I believe this is the understanding of the first verse, a love and commitment to that love. Again, Yeshua didn't say anything different, did he? These two attributes frame the next three verses of the psalmist's expression. In verse 98, we read, I am wiser than my foes because your mitzvot are mine forever. In order to become wiser than your foes, the psalmist proclaims that Adonai's mitzvot are yours. Thus they are in your possession. By embracing Adonai through his covenant, you have received and therefore possess his mitzvot. The same wisdom that formed the world in 6 days, including our very own creation, Adonai enabled us to possess that which he has made known to us. For Deuteronomy 29:28 reveals, things which are hidden belong to Adonai our God, but the things that have been revealed belong to us and our children forever, so that we can observe all the words of this Torah. And thus, in revealing that which was once hidden, has thus enabled us, equipped us for every aspect of life that will confront us. Consider Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 11. For this mitzvah which I am giving you today is not too hard for you. It is not beyond your reach. It isn't in the sky, so that you need to ask, who will go up into the sky for us, bring it to us, and make us hear it so that we can obey it? Likewise, it isn't beyond the sea, so that you need to ask, who will cross the sea for us, bring it to us, and make us hear it so that we can obey it? On the contrary, God reveals to Moses, the word is very close to you, in your mouth, even in your heart, therefore you can do it. Here, possession isn't 9/10 of the law. It is possessing 100% of Torah. This doesn't mean that we are to do 100% of Torah, but to do 100% of Torah that applies to us. To possess it provides you with access to the very wisdom of Adonai in Torah, and thus the teachings of Yeshua, our rabbi, our teacher. Not only do we have access to the textbook, but we also have access to the author. No substitute teachers for us. So then we read in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers because I meditate on your instructions. Through our teacher Yeshua, and thus further instruction through the Ruach HaKodesh, who is not a substitute, but the very power behind the wisdom, we are able to possess greater understanding. We further meditate on what has been revealed to us. Consider Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 45. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Tanakh, telling them, here is what it says. The Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and in his name repentance leading to forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to the people from all nations, starting in Jerusalem. If you don't come to the same conclusion as Yeshua, then you have ignored the teacher. The Pharisees were constantly being schooled by Yeshua, and they did not like it all very well. In fact, they despised it so much, and they despised him so much that they planned to kill him. They ignored our teacher who offers the key to the kingdom. The wisdom that Yeshua possessed was seen from a very early age. On the third day, they found him. He was sitting in the temple among the rabbis, not only listening to them, but questioning what they said. And everyone who heard him was astonished at his insight and his responses. This is a 12-year-old. This is when he was forgotten by his parents. They didn't count off saying, count off so we know everybody's here. They just assumed he was with them. So such insight in that he surpassed that of the other teachers of Judah. We've seen this throughout the New Covenant writings, throughout the Gospels. We possess his word, for he has given it to us, and thus it belongs to us. We contemplate that which he has given us for the sole purpose to embrace to that which has been given. So keeping in mind, there is no excuse for anyone. It's the most published book in history. It's the most revered, and it's also the opposite of that. The most revered, but also the most criticized. Good word. Thank you. So we come to verse 100 of Psalm 119. I understand more than my elders because I keep your precepts. Yeshua possessed greater understanding than all of his elders, for they were amazed at his insights of someone so young. It should be no mystery to us that Yeshua possessed such wisdom because of his Father, through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, enabled that which is eternal to enter the world confined by time. Shaul offers an excellent summation as he writes to the Philippians in chapter 2. Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be possessed by force. On the contrary, he emptied himself in that he took the form of a slave by becoming like human beings. And when he appeared as a human being, he humbled himself still more by becoming obedient even to death. Death on the stake as a criminal. A God who would never see death humbled himself to actually experience what we would end up experiencing upon the end of our life. Therefore, God raised him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that in honor of the name given Yeshua, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Yeshua the Messiah is Adonai, to the glory of God the Father. Thus the psalmist professed a devotion that is a love to the word of Adonai, to Torah. That devotion is wholehearted. Thus professing, you are to have no other gods before me. Offering total and complete devotion to the only living God. That through that commitment, we are given and therefore possess his word. We are able to contemplate everything that he has revealed and thus enabling us to keep his mitzvot. By keeping his mitzvot, we honor him through his word, respect his authority through our action, which is why the psalmist further expands on our responsibilities in verse 101 and 102. I keep my feet from every evil way in order to observe your word. I don't turn away from your rulings because you have instructed me. Action is required on our part, not lip service. Many believers are troubled by Yaakov's words because they are ultimately confronted by their own actions. In Yaakov 1, starting in verse 19, therefore, my dear brothers, let every person be quick to listen but slow to speak, slow to get angry, for a person's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. So rid yourselves of all vulgarity and obvious evil, and receive meekly the word implanted in you that can save your lives. Don't deceive yourselves by only hearing what the word says, but do it. For whoever hears the word but doesn't do it says, like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, who looks at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But if a person looks closely into the perfect Torah, which gives freedom and continues, becoming not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work it requires, then he will be blessed in what he does. Anyone who thinks he is religiously observant, but does not control his tongue, is deceiving himself, and his observance counts for nothing. The religious observance that God the Father considers pure and faultless is this: to care for the orphan and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being contaminated by the world. So what is Torah but our filter of the world? We are to see everything through the filter, the lens of Torah, as we conduct our lives. Adonai does not seek perfection from us, but rather our commitment to him. Our obedience he desires. He wants us to be complete, and the only way is through him. Just as Adonai embraces the sweet aroma of the Olah, the Zavach Shalamim, and the Mincha, the sacrifices that are voluntary, so too the sweetness of our obedience, in that it too is voluntary. That is, he has offered us a covenant relationship for which we have chosen to embrace. Consider verse 103. How sweet to my tongue is your promise, truly sweeter than honey in my mouth. Consider the words of Job. I don't withdraw from his lips command. I treasure his words more than my daily food. And how about Solomon in Proverbs 24, verse 13, my son, eat honey for it is good. Honeycomb drippings are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is similarly sweet to your soul. If you find it, then you will have a future. What you hope for will not be cut off. So Torah leads to a stronger believer who is committed to a lifestyle Adonai has established, a lifestyle that is kingdom-based and kingdom-bound, a lifestyle that runs contrary to the world, a lifestyle that exposes the deception of the adversary. This relationship between the word of Adonai, that is Torah, and us bears the fruit of wisdom. We are wiser than the adversary and anyone who is not aligned and therefore in covenant with Adonai through Yeshua. Verse 104. From your precepts I gain understanding. This is why I hate every false way. Once you have tasted from the wisdom of Adonai, you should be fully equipped against any and every attack of the adversary. For consider the words of David from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. David answered the Philistine, "You're coming at me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I'm coming to you in the name of Adonai, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have challenged. Today Adonai will hand you over to me. I will attack you, lop your head off, and give your carcasses of the army of the Philistines to the birds in the air and the animals in the land. Then all the land will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that Adonai does not save by sword or spear. For this is Adonai's battle, and he will hand you over to us." Don't take the literal aspect of getting ready for the sword and cutting off someone's head. Know that the battle belongs to God. For every false way is made known to you. If it does not align with what you possess, Torah, its teacher Yeshua, and its empowerment, the Ruach HaKodesh, then it is a false way. Adonai has given you three witnesses attesting to him and his way. It all lays before you, and I have shared with you this before. From Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and 16, look, I am presenting you today with, on the one hand, life and good, and on the other, death and evil, in that I am ordering you today to love Adonai your God, to follow his ways and to obey his mitzvot, regulations and rulings. For if you do, you will live and increase your numbers, and Adonai your God will bless you in the land you are entering in order to take possession of. So have you embraced his love as the psalmist has? Have you embraced the path the psalmist has laid out for us? If you have, know that there is always more. Know that he offers an endless river of living water for our consumption. There are no limits to what we have available to us. Our ability to grow closer to him is only limited to our devotion. If you have not embraced the words of the psalmist, you don't know what you are missing. You will still have troubles in this world, but you will have the peace that enables you to overcome those troubles. So I pray that on the one hand you have life and good, on the other hand you have death and evil, that the choice is obvious. I don't know of anyone who chooses death over life. But we're not just talking about this now, but we're talking about life after. We're talking about a kingdom. We're talking about a king. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about the things that are to come. Whether you stick your head in the sand now and try to ignore it is not going to change what is actually in the process of making itself known to this world. Yeshua revealed the kingdom to us. We are, in essence, at the bus stop waiting for the bus. Our ticket says kingdom bound. There are no stops. There are no detours. There is one bus, therefore there is one way. Keeping in mind, most buses typically house between 47 and 60 people. Needless to say, I don't think we have to worry about capacity. So keeping in mind, your ticket is waiting to be validated. But you have the ticket, because you have, in essence, embraced the promises that Yeshua has revealed to us. And you've, in essence, hopefully embraced the ways the psalmist has expressed to us. And the ticket isn't a heart shape that has five books associated with it. And upon those five books, everything else is established. Order is established through the five books of Moses, through Torah. Everything falls into place, is what I typically say. If you understand the first five books, you can't teach passion, but needless to say, it can be developed. It can grow. I can't teach you what passion looks like, but I believe the Ruach HaKodesh can show you, can reveal it to you, and cause it to flourish, because his word is just that precious. There is nothing else like it. No one else in this world possessed it but a single nation that he entrusted it to. Now it's available to everyone. So keep these things in mind when you're discouraged, when you're challenged, maybe when you're frustrated or angry. Whatever is emitted from this world, remember the calming factor of the Word of God, found in his Torah. So if everybody will please rise.